Thank you, Dean. And good evening, everyone. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 25 to 34. And the title for this sermon is The Cure for Anxiety. So we're going to be talking about something that I think we all deal with in differing ways, but something that's very relevant. God's Word is always relevant, but we're going to look at a passage that I believe we all can relate to. The words of Jesus, our Lord, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be back here once again in your house to worship you. I continue to pray, along with Brother Dean, that our hearts and our minds would be centered upon you. Help us as we dig into this text of Scripture. We know, we believe that you inspired these words and that 2,000 years ago, Jesus spoke these words. He preached these words. And we know that they are relevant for us here today in 2024. So I just pray that you would bless this time. Give me the words, O God, and may they be words of refreshing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to take you back to March of 2020. I think you all remember what was going on at that time. COVID-19 was starting to spread, and it took a while to get going, but it was definitely spreading. And there was just kind of this palpable sense of fear. And I remember my sister texting me around that time, and she basically said, I know I'm not supposed to worry, but I'm having a hard time not being freaked out by this, everything we're hearing in the media. Well, there were millions and maybe even billions of people who were starting to feel that way. That was the case throughout the pandemic. Not so much at the end, but especially at the beginning. And here we are 4 years later. Thankfully, it's behind us. But we're still people. We're still human beings. We're still stressed out by all kinds of different things. What do we do with that? How do we respond as Christians? And I know some of us worry more than others, but as I said, I think we all worry. What do we do with that? How do we respond? Well, thankfully, God's Word, just like in anything, has answers. The Bible is an ancient text, but it's always relevant. It always speaks to the need of the moment. And today we're going to look at six reasons not to worry, or we might call it the cure for anxiety. I'm going to show you how it doesn't make sense to worry. It doesn't benefit in any way. It doesn't enrich our lives. It just adds stress to our lives. The Bible says that our citizenship is in heaven. We have this glorious inheritance that awaits us. And the Bible says that it is kept in heaven for you. It's incorruptible. It's unfading. It's imperishable. In other words, it cannot be destroyed. It cannot be taken away from us. So Jesus spoke this word for us, for you, for me. And our response should be very different from the rest of the world when those pressures and those stressors come our way. How do we respond? Well, let's look at six different ways. Number one, this is right from the text, verse 25, life is more than basic needs. Life is more than basic needs. So verse 25 says, words of Jesus, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So think about what Jesus is saying. He's addressing the basic needs of life, things like water and clothing, things that we absolutely need. We all need to eat, we need to drink, we need shelter, we need clothing. We need those things. Now, earlier in Matthew, Jesus talked about not storing up treasures on earth. Matter of fact, it was in this same chapter. And Jesus was talking about not making money your God, your master. But now there's this switch. Instead of talking about excess and idolatry, Jesus is talking about basic needs. And there's a reason for this. In the same way that money can become our God, the thing that we live for, it's also possible to make our bodies an idol. We live in a world that is encouraging us, even compelling us, to turn the body into an idol. That's one of the big messages we get. Elevate your body. And how does this happen? How does this message come our way? Well, primarily two ways. It's either through the indulgence of the flesh, food, pleasure, sex, recreation, on and on, or through asceticism. What's that? Well, that's denying the body. So you have people who go on strict diets. They get gym memberships. They become obsessive over how they look. But in both cases, instead of money or something else, the body is elevated. The body is God, what people live for. Well, we know what the Bible says. The Bible says that God is a jealous God. He will not compete with any form of idolatry. Now, let's go back to what Jesus said. I want to show you how this fits together. He said, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? This is a rhetorical question. We know that the obvious answer is yes. We need to feed ourselves. We need to clothe ourselves. We've been doing that ever since the fall, when God clothed Adam and Eve in the garden. But we must understand that life is more than food. Life is more than clothing. So what Jesus is saying is truly profound. Human beings are not simply animal in nature. We're not just body. We're not simply physical specimens, biology, if you will, material. We are body and soul, body and spirit. And so what that tells us is that life is not just about satisfying those cravings. It's not just about satisfying those fleshly desires. That's what animals do. And of course, they hunt and drink so that they can survive. But we don't think of them as having body and soul. But you see, you understand that we are image bearers of the triune God. We are set apart from the animal world. Life is more than the body. Now, when Jesus talks about having eternal life, he's not just talking about having a body that is immortal. When Jesus talks about having an abundant life, John 10:10, he's not just talking about a life where all those fleshly desires are met. He's talking about something greater, something beyond the physical, something beyond this earthly life. You see, true life, and that is the life that is found in Christ, far surpasses anything that this world can offer to us. And Jesus is reminding us that that's what life is all about. We're creatures created in his image. We're not just animal. So in summary, true life, that is life in Christ, is more than just satisfying those basic needs. And so we need to stop focusing and worrying about our body and about those basic needs, those physical needs. Stop being obsessed about comfort. Life is about much more than that. Number two, God takes care of the birds and the flowers. So this simple truth will help us in terms of the cure for anxiety. Verse 26, it says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" So a couple illustrations here. Jesus says, look at the birds. And think of birds. They're just fascinating. I mean, think about it. They can fly. Here you have creatures, and there's many different species of birds, but they can fly. And that is so cool. I mean, I enjoy flying in airplanes. I think that's really cool. And here's birds. That's what they do all the time. They're in the air. Did you know, I just looked this up this afternoon, but did you know that hummingbirds flap their wings 70 to 80 times a second? That's fast. That's cool. And, you know, we could look at all kinds of cool features in terms of birds. But these are creatures that God created. And Jesus says that they don't sow or reap or gather into barns. Think of farmers. They sow, they plant their crops in the spring, they reap in the fall, and then they store them away until they could be used or sold. So think about Jesus' point. He's saying that while the farmer takes the initiative to plant and harvest and gather, the birds of the air, they do no such thing. Don't have to. They might hunt a little for their food, and sometimes that's going to be harder at times, but it's a much simpler process than the farmer. And yet God feeds the birds. He takes care of his creatures. Then Jesus gives another illustration. It's kind of a parallel illustration in verses 28 and 29. "Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed as they are." So this illustration has to do with flowers. Flowers don't work to provide for themselves. They can't even go anywhere. Birds can travel, but not flowers. And yet God feeds them. God provides for them. And flowers are so beautiful. Jesus even says that Solomon, richest man who ever lived, wisest king in history, was not taken care of as they were, as they are. So Jesus is arguing from the lesser to the greater. Jesus is saying with both of these illustrations, look, if God can take care of the birds of the air, if God can take care of the flowers of the field and the grass and all the plants, don't you think he can take care of you? Don't you realize that you are one of his beloved children? It's rhetorical. Of course he can. Well, in light of that, how silly it is to worry. God will take care of you. Number three, worry does not benefit Now, this one kind of builds off the last one. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So by this point, Jesus really has his audience thinking. He's saying, think about all the times that you have been worried sick over something. How did that benefit you? How did all your worry and anxiety change the situation? Did it enrich your life? Did it add to your life? Did it make you healthier? I think if we were honest, we would all admit that worry doesn't help us. At the end of the day, it does not help us. It doesn't benefit. No, I think sometimes when we're worried or we're fearful and it's an issue of protection, maybe there's some benefit in that sense. But on the whole, worry does not benefit us, generally speaking. It doesn't have the power to change the situation. And as Jesus reminds us, worry doesn't even have the power to add 1 hour to our lifespan. Remember a few years ago, our van was, I guess it was due for a change in transmission fluid. I almost said oil change, but I think it was transmission fluid. Honda Odyssey, we still got that same van. But this is supposed to happen every 50 to 60,000 miles. It's something that you do over the course of time after a certain number of miles. And foolishly, I put it off for a while. I guess, I don't know what I was thinking, but I put it off. And eventually, I started to notice that the van wasn't shifting the way it should be. This didn't seem right. So finally, I took it in, got it changed. But for the next couple months, I was worried. It just seemed off to me. Every time I drove it, I was worried about it. So finally, I took it in to the Honda tech guy, one of the mechanics, actually just down the road here at Bobby Rahal. And we drove it around for a few minutes. He drove it, and I was in the passenger seat, and he assured me that everything was fine. The van was just fine. It was shifting fine. And so here I was, worried, sick. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but I was worried. What if I wrecked our van? Think about all the money that we have tied up in that van. How are we going to get it fixed? Those kind of things. That was my thinking at the time. And at the end of the day, how did that benefit me? Well, brothers and sisters, the sooner we realize the limited benefit of worry, the better off we'll be. And I realize it's not something that we can just say, oh, okay, it doesn't benefit, I'm going to stop worrying. And wouldn't it be nice if that was the case? Just stop worrying. It's more complicated than that. This is something that God has to work in our lives, but it does help to know that it really doesn't benefit. It's not going to help us. In fact, it's going to hold us back in our walk with the Lord. Number four, worry shows a lack of faith in God. Look at verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I love that ending there. O you of little faith. Kind of hits us right between the eyes. Now, Jesus loved to use illustrations. We know that. And once again, he's arguing from the lesser to the greater. If God takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, will he not take care of you? Of course he will. For all those in Christ, his children, we have that confidence. We know that he died for us. He shed his blood on our behalf. He cares for us in ways that we can't comprehend. Well, in light of that, why do we worry? Why are we anxious? And the answer is simple. It's because of our lack of faith. Or as Jesus puts it, our little faith. O you of little faith. Incidentally, this is the first of five times where Jesus scolds the disciples for their lack of faith. And by this point, the disciples had witnessed countless miracles. Let's say many miracles by this time. They'd seen Jesus perform signs and wonders. They'd been exposed to his teaching. They had seen Jesus up close and personal. And yet, it appears as if they didn't get it. I mean, didn't they realize that Jesus was trustworthy? That he was sufficient? That he could take care of them? And friends, we could ask that of ourselves. Why do we worry? Why do we doubt? Why do our hearts fill with anxiety? Now, there is this sense in which worry is natural. We're human beings. There's going to be times where we're anxious, we're afraid. Maybe right now you're going through a difficult situation in your life. Maybe it has to do with a family member. Maybe it's a personal issue. Maybe it's a work issue. I don't know. But here's what we need to understand. Our lives don't have to be dominated by fear. We don't have to be paralyzed by fear. And the reason for that is because of our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what sets us apart. If God is for us, who can be against us? It's another thing. We don't have to fear people. Sometimes we fear those around us. But we have Christ, and that's all that matters. So worry shows a lack of faith in God. There's no problem that is too big for our God. And our Lord has already promised that he will take care of us. He will supply every need of ours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And when we realize that God cares for us, that makes such a difference. I think one of the biggest problems that we deal with in terms of this whole issue is that we think we have to do it. We have to provide for ourselves. We have to protect ourselves. Those kind of things. But here's the deal. We don't have to know the future. We don't have to worry who's going to provide for us, protect us. Because the future is in God's hands. He's got it all figured out. He's the one that writes the script, and that's good enough. That's all that matters. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties, your cares upon him, because he cares for you. In other words, give it over to him. Take it to your heavenly Father. Let him take care of your burden. You see, brothers and sisters, every time we worry, it demonstrates a lack of faith in God. It shows us that we don't see God for who he is, the all-sufficient one. So we need to be willing to put our lives in his hands. Number five, God already knows our needs. He knows our needs. This is verses 31 and 32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. There's no question that many people who were hearing Jesus teach would have had very little in the way of food and clothing. And it is true, as Jesus said, that we'll always have the poor among us. But that was especially true in the ancient Near East. In that world, we live in prosperity. That's not the case with everyone. And it was certainly not the case back in the New Testament world, Jesus' time. So these kinds of questions would have been relevant for many, very legitimate. And look at what Jesus says. First, Gentiles or non-Jews seek after these things. They're worried about basic needs, just like we're worried about basic needs. But going back to point number one, we have to keep things in perspective. If the physical body is all we're living for, then something's missing. You see, as God's people, we are called to a very different life. To just focus on the body and to focus on our needs, essentially that means we're losing sight of eternity. If this earthly life is all that there is, well, yeah, we're going to be worried. We're going to be fearful. We're going to be anxious. We're going to cling to our earthly lives. But the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And this tent, this earthly home, as Paul calls it in 2 Corinthians, it's just weak. It's flimsy. It's passing away. But we have a building from God. It's a heavenly home that cannot be taken from us. So we need to keep things in perspective. We must not lose sight of eternity. We as Christians are called to live a life of humble dependence upon our Master and Lord. And when we yield ourselves to Him, we start to see how He takes care of us. And He takes care of us in ways that we don't even see. There's lots of ways that we do see, but there's those ways that we don't see. And so when we fix our eyes upon Him, we see that we don't need to fret and worry over every little thing. That's just counterproductive. That gets in the way of Christian service. And yes, we all know that we have needs. You have needs, they're legitimate. But God the Father knows exactly what we need. And that's what He supplies us with. Sometimes we think we have a need, but it's not really a need. And this echoes what Jesus said earlier in chapter 6. He was talking about prayer. And He said, "Your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask Him." So God the Father knows you fully and completely, and He knows your needs. And He meets those needs according to His will. The question is, before we move on to number 6, is do we trust Him to supply those needs? Okay, look at verse 34. This is the last point that I have in our text here. Worry shows that we are preoccupied with the future. Jesus said, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This verse kind of serves as a summary statement for the whole passage. Jesus says for the third time, do not be anxious, do not worry. But this time it's a little different. Instead of being anxious about your life, Jesus says about tomorrow. Now that's interesting. If you think about it, most of our worrying, it has to do with the future. We think to ourselves, if I don't have enough money, how are we going to eat? How are we going to survive? How are we going to pay the bills? And what about my health? What about my family? What if my retirement runs out? And this whole situation in the Middle East, overseas, there's these wars that we keep hearing about and rumors of wars. All these worries are worries and fears about tomorrow and beyond. And don't you just love the words of Jesus? He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. Don't worry about next month. Why? Well, tomorrow has enough problems of its own. And isn't that true? I mean, each day we have various problems, some of them big, some of them small. But there's trouble. You know, tomorrow we're going to wake up and we're going to find that we have trouble. Now, hopefully, Lord willing, it's minor. But each day has trouble of its own. And so Jesus is saying, take things day by day, one day at a time. When we worry, I think this is what Jesus is saying, we start to get into all these hypothetical scenarios. And that only serves to further our worry and our stress. We say to ourselves, well, if the tranny in the van is shot, then what am I going to do? That's going to be several thousand dollars to fix. And then we're going to get behind on the house payment, and then we won't be able to pay the other bills, and on and on. It's just this endless trail of what ifs. And you see, friends, it's unnecessary. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And notice how Jesus didn't say, don't worry because you're not going to have any more problems. He didn't say that. Sometimes we think, maybe not seriously, but sometimes we think that because we are in Christ and we are the people of God, that our problems will dry up. That life is going to be easy and fun and exciting. Jesus didn't say that. And nowhere in the Bible do we find that. So I just love how realistic Jesus is. I love how truthful he is. It's kind of like he's saying, you are going to suffer. Your days will have trials, tribulations. And so what good is it to worry about tomorrow? Each day has enough trouble of its own. So we need to remember that we live in a fallen world. We're going to have problems. Focus on today. Focus on getting through the day. Focus on being faithful in the moment. And yes, Jesus is not saying don't plan. He's not saying that we shouldn't think about the future at all. But he is saying, don't be preoccupied with the future. So again, brothers and sisters, we don't know what tomorrow holds. The only thing I can tell you with certainty is that we're going to have problems. And so Jesus is saying we need to live in the moment. We want to know what the future holds. Well, we want to have some level of certainty, but we don't have that. And that's why we need to take things a day at a time, and we need to trust. Put our lives in the hands of Jesus, the one who holds the future. So there you have it, six reasons not to worry as a Christian. Life is more than basic needs. Secondly, God takes care of the birds and the flowers. If he takes care of them, he can take care of you. Number three, worry and anxiety does not benefit. Number four, worry shows a lack of faith in God. Number five, God already knows our needs, every one of them. And lastly, worry shows, it demonstrates that we're preoccupied with the future. So what is the substitute? What is the remedy to worry? It is this: looking to Jesus in faith. Looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And this is captured in verse 33. This is maybe at the center, at the heart of this passage. And it goes like this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What do? We seek first God's kingdom. We seek first his priorities, not our own. We need to get our eyes off ourselves and look to the Lord in faith. Make Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, your focus. Let me just ask you this. And this is something that you want to give some thought to. tonight, later on, this week. What are you worried about? Chances are we are all worried about different things. I mean, there's probably some overlap. What are you worried about? Is it health and well-being? Physical needs? Maybe you're dealing with an illness. Is it your family? Family is always near and dear. Maybe it's basic needs. Again, we live in America. There's a lot of prosperity. But some people deal with those basic needs. What about a job situation or finances? And then, of course, as we talked about, the future. Are you worried about the future? Are you worried about eternity? Well, let me ask you, have you put your life, have you put these life situations in the hands of God, your Heavenly Father? And have you given yourself wholly to Him? As we said earlier, it's common for people to focus on the physical, their bodies, this world, and all the distractions. You know, we turn on the media, we turn on the news or whatever it is, social media, and we just don't hear much about God. We don't hear much about the gospel, the need for faith and repentance in Christ. I should say repentance and faith in Christ. We don't hear much about the soul, but that's the opportunity that is before us. It's a unique opportunity. We can tell people that there is hope in Jesus' name. And they don't have to be burdened by fear and worry and anxiety. So let me encourage you, let me challenge you to take your eyes off yourself. That's one of the things I realized this last week and the Lord challenged me with. Get your eyes off yourself, Daniel. Focus on Christ. Take your eyes off this world. Look to Jesus. Look to Him in all His beauty. Let me tell you, He is a wonderful, merciful Savior. And He is sufficient to meet your need, all your needs. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this text. We thank You for how You've given us Your Word. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for being our Savior, our precious Savior. We thank You for Your holy life, Your righteous life, and how You truly fulfilled the law of God. And we thank You for the righteousness that is ours as we look to You in faith, that imputed righteousness. Oh, great God, I just pray that You would be with each person here tonight. And the worries that we deal with, the fears, Lord, help us to give them to You and trust You, fully trust You to take care of all those situations, all those things that the dear people here are dealing with. Lord, You are sufficient. You are glorious, and we commit this all to You. Amen.